car. I shut the door, then turned to the house. I had a flash of being grabbed on the front step. The lawn had been covered in snow. The porch light was only bright enough to see my keys. I hadn't even realized he was behind the tall bushes next to the door. I hated the front of Rory's house now. The sage green Craftsman was a great house, pretty even. I just didn't like the bushes next to the door or the shadows all over the yard. I shuddered. Isaac's hand tightened on mine as he gave me a small tug to get me going. I unlocked the door, then Isaac went in first. I followed and disarmed the new security system Rory had installed. After punching in the combo, I turned back to Isaac. He wordlessly pulled me into a hug.
"It'll get better, Lexi,"
he reminded me. "Promise?"
"Promise."
He gave me a squeeze, then kissed my cheek before heading out the door. I turned the deadbolt and turned the system on again. I went to my bedroom and shoved a snoring Hades to the other side. I lay down, not bothering to change out of my clothes. My phone vibrated in my pocket. It was Ryan. "Ryan."
"I'm sorry. Please tell me you're all right."
Poor guy. He probably thought it was all his fault. "Alexis." "I'm okay." "Ryan."
"I'm so sorry. I didn't know about the cologne."
"Alexis. It wasn't your fault. Don't worry about it." "Ryan."
"You're tired. Go to sleep. Night."
"Alexis." "Night." I held my phone, half expecting Zeke to text me. Sure enough, 10 minutes later, someone did. "Ethan."
"Are you okay?"
I smiled to myself. "Alexis. I'm okay. Just tired." "Ethan."
"Do you want some company?"
"Alexis." "Nah, I'll be fine." "Ethan."
"Are you sure? I'm more than willing to sneak out."
"Alexis." "Yeah, I'm good." "Ethan."
"All right. Get some sleep."
"Alexis." "You too." Chapter 2. Saturday morning. I ran through the tree line, following it, staying under the trees where the snow wasn't so thick.
"Alexis!"
His shout echoed through the woods. I fought for breath as adrenaline surged through me, pushing me. Footsteps were behind me. I swerved through the trees. I was hit from behind. My face hit the snow. Something wet touched my face. I jerked awake, gasping. Already sitting up, my eyes darted around the room, looking for him. It took me a few seconds to realize I was in my bedroom, safe at home. Heart racing, sweat running down my skin. I sat back against the wall. Hades whined next to me. I reached out and let him climb in my lap, trying to ignore the memories running through my mind. I focused on petting Hades, the texture of his fur, the way his ears felt under my fingertips. It was April. Clay Orden was in jail without possibility of bail. He can't hurt me anymore. I ran through my exercises until the tension in my chest eased. I hugged Hades. He must have woken me up before the worst this time. He was so getting treats today. When I could, I got to my feet and headed to the bathroom. I started the shower, not because I felt I needed one, but because it was morning. I braced my hands on the counter and took stock. I was never going to get back to normal. It was time to face it. The doc was right. I wasn't going to be the same person I was before the cabin. I was going to have triggers, more nightmares, and have trouble in crowds. I looked into the mirror. My green eyes with gold flecks stared back at me out of my heart-shaped face. I wasn't the same person. But that didn't mean I couldn't take my life back. My eyes ran over my long copper hair. I wasn't the same person, and I wasn't going to be. Maybe it was time to show that. A fire began burning in my belly as I pushed away from the counter and climbed into the shower. I quickly ran through my morning routine, determined to make this day a good one. After my shower, I pulled on clean jeans and a simple gray t-shirt before grabbing my keys and phone. I headed downstairs to find Rory and Tara in the living room. living room didn't quite cover it. It was one great room with the kitchen in its own nook. Rory, do you care if I head out to the park or maybe get my hair cut? I asked as I reached the first floor. Rory didn't even look up from the paper.
No, go ahead. Which one of the guys are going with you?
None, I stated simply. His head snapped up. His gaze ran over me. Rory was a good-looking man. Even I could see that. His Delaney copper hair was rumpled, his brown eyes searching.
You're going out alone?
He asked, carefully, his worried eyes meeting mine. Yeah, the shrink said it's time to try, so I'm trying, I bit out. His eyes narrowed at me.
Bad dream?
He asked. I grumbled wordlessly. His lips moved to a half-smile.
Okay, kid. If you're ready, you're ready.
Thanks, I said, as I let Hades out back and closed the door behind me. Tara had been oddly quiet this morning. I half expected her to make fun of me or something. Putting it out of my mind, I looked around. It was a nice, crisp spring morning, the perfect morning to start over. I pulled out my phone and texted Zeke. Alexis, I'm heading out to the cemetery alone. Then I might be going to a salon. It didn't take long for a response. Zeke.
Which one?
Alexis. Don't know yet. I'll let you know when I do. There was a long pause before he responded. Zeke.
Fine. Don't forget or I'll start looking for you.
Alexis. I know. I tucked my phone away and let Hades back into the house. I ate a quick breakfast and was at the door with Hades in less than 10 minutes. My stomach shook as I looked outside. For the first time in months, there wasn't someone waiting for me. That was good. I had this. I'm taking my life back. My hand shook as I stepped outside and closed the door behind me. My body grew tense as I walked to the blazer. A bird chirped. I jumped. My heart started racing. Come on. It's broad daylight, and you're just walking to your damn truck. Had the blazer always been this far away? I growled at myself. A neighbor started their lawnmower. I didn't jump this time, but I did tighten my grip on Hades' leash. My hands began to sweat, and my skin was too tight. Being this jittery was starting to piss me off. Okay, I can use pissed off. Pissed off was better than scared. This was my life, and I wasn't going to let some fucker take it from me. When I reached the blazer, I was steadier. My pulse was still racing, but I was steadier. I had this. As per my normal routine, I drove out to the cemetery. It was your average cemetery. Grass, headstones, some trees, and a large group of souls waiting around the flagpole in the veterans section. Okay, that part wasn't normal, but lately it had been my normal. Hades immediately started barking. Shush, I told him as I looked over the massive crowd. It seemed as if the group never got any smaller. More dead had been showing up every day demanding to be crossed over. Luckily, I had figured out a trick in March. We had been standing in a big storm with Isaac holding an umbrella over our heads. I had been making trip after trip with souls. The multiple trips were wearing on me. This is taking too long, I grumbled as I rubbed my temples. Isaac rubbed my lower back gently.
Yeah, it is,
he agreed.
Too bad you can't take more than one.
I went still as I thought it over. Why couldn't I take more than one? It'd be tricky. Let's give it a shot, I suggested. The after effects can't be too bad. He eyed me.
If you die, take me with you, or Zeke will kill me, painfully.
I chuckled before turning to the next two souls. Their names were Patty Sinclair and Noah Moore. The two had been high school sweethearts who died in a car crash before graduation. I focused on their need to move on. That golden ribbon of will reached out, split and wrapped around their wrists. I threw up my arms in victory. Yes! Since that rainy day, I've been increasing the number of souls I took in one trip to the Vale, little by little. But lately I've been stuck at 20, and the dead were still getting impatient. I zipped up my black hoodie, left Hades in the car, and approached the group.
About time you showed up,
one of them snapped. I eyed him. Mr. Davis had died in the 70s, judging from the mustache and polyester suit. There were several murmurs of agreement through the crowd. I ignored him. "Okay, we did 20 yesterday," I announced. "We're doing 20 today. Whoever is crossing, step forward." A group of souls lined up. Normally, I'd care who they were. Today, I didn't. I just wanted to get this over with. "All right, we're forming a chain. Hold hands with the person next to you. There's going to be a long, dark fall, then we'll land in the veil. Do not let go of the person next to you, or they won't make it to the veil." I didn't know if that was true or not, but I didn't want to take the chance. As the group did as I said, I went to one end of the line. "What's your name?" The guy was about my age. He was wearing a Kiss shirt and had 80s band hair.
"George,"
he said. I slipped off my beads. My stomach immediately rolled hard. Oh, he must have died from a drug overdose. I focused on everyone's need to move on. That gold thread wrapped around his wrist. It serpentined through the group, catching everyone's wrists down the line. I closed my eyes and dropped down, dragging the line of souls with me. It wasn't comfortable, but it was faster than doing one at a time. Midway down, I visualized where I wanted to come out in the veil. Soon we hit grass. I looked behind me to see all 20 had made it. I let go of the souls and took a look around. The veil had changed over the last few months. Instead of cracked dirt, lush green grass grew, the burnt stumps of trees poking through the waves. Wildflowers grew here and there in groups. It reminded me of a forest growing after a fire. Life was returning to the veil, slowly but surely. I turned back to the group to see if anyone needed any help crossing today. Several doors of gold light were already closing, others just opening. Everyone rushed to the other side happily. I smiled. That was a first. There were usually one or two who needed a little encouragement. Today was going to be a good day. The doors closed one after another, turning to balls of gold light that shot up into the sky like rockets. They disappeared through the way. I looked around and spotted several new flowers and vines that hadn't been there before. I eyed the walls of the veil. They were still gray and smoky. How many souls was it going to take before they even began to thin? I wished I had the answer. I closed my eyes and pulled myself out. I blinked at the sunlight before looking to the rest of the large group. "They're across. I'll see you guys tomorrow," I told them as I slipped on my beads.
"What about the rest of us?" Davis barked.
I reminded myself to be patient. "I'm not going to burn myself out for you."
"You need to cross more of us. This wait is getting ridiculous," he shot back.
I blinked at him, stunned. I had been letting their attitude go, but this...
"I will cross however many is safe for me to do," I snapped, "and not one extra."
I turned back to my blazer as the grumbling crowd began to disperse. I climbed in and used my phone to find a salon. Then I got an idea. I called Riley.
"Hey, girl, I heard you left early last night. Are you okay?"
Riley asked instantly. "Yeah, I had a flashback. I'll explain later," I said, hoping she'd forget by then. "I was thinking about getting my hair cut and was wondering if you wanted to go have girl time."
"Oh, hell yeah," Riley exclaimed. "My aunt runs a beauty shop here in town, so let me see if I can get us in. I'll call you right back."
Riley hung up on me. I snorted and took Hades' leash. We walked around the cemetery. It was quiet, as you'd expect, with no living people around. Hades lifted his leg to a headstone near the road.
"No, bad Hades. You don't do that here," I told him, as I pulled him away from the headstone.
He looked at me, confused. I brought him over to a tree. He sniffed around, then lifted his leg. When he was done, I gave him praise and love. He licked my face. I'm assuming that was dog for, "I get it now and forgive you." My phone rang.
"Hey, I got us in," Riley announced. "Except it's not until tomorrow at 1.
"That works," I said.
I have voice therapy today anyway. That sounds like fun, she said sarcastically. There was shattering glass in the background. Shit, gotta go. The cousins are loose. Riley hung up on me. Smiling, Hades and I climbed into the Blazer and started driving. I ended up at Chester Park on the east side of the lake. It had several bike paths and walking trails that I had heard of. Before getting out, I texted Zeke. Alexis, Salon was a no-go. I'm at Chester Park, taking a walk on the main path. Zeke,
Hades with you?
Alexis, yep. Zeke,
good. Pay attention around you anyway.
I tucked my phone into my pocket before climbing out. Hades jumped down, his tail wagging, his tongue lolled out of his mouth as we walked. He looked happy as can be. Following Hades' lead, I headed down the empty main path. The trees towered over us, and the brush was thick here and there. Occasionally, a small patch of wildflowers peeked out of the long grass. The breeze brought pine to my nose, easing the tension in my body. It was a beautiful morning. Birds chirped, the lake was calm, and the sky was clear. Several times I had to pull Hades from the huckleberry bushes. He kept trying to eat them. See, Lexi, you can do this. You're going to be okay. After some time, I found a bench near the water and sat down. Hades sat, then leaned against my legs. The silence surrounded us. I was outside, alone for the first time in months. I smiled to myself. I actually managed it. A stick snapped somewhere in the woods. I turned and scanned the area with my heart in my throat. I took a deep breath and let it out slowly as I listened for anything to tell me if someone was there. The woods were quiet again except for birds and the waves on the shore. Swallowing hard, my stomach was in knots as I pulled out my phone. Just in case. Memories brushed my mind. I pushed them away as fear filled me. This wasn't the same thing. I'm in daylight and Hades is next to me. But my body wasn't listening. I looked down at my phone to find my hands trembling. My lungs grew tight. All I could hear was the blood pounding in my ears. Shit. It was getting hard to breathe. I tapped my phone to call someone. Heavy footsteps came up the walkway. My gaze darted that way, my mind already planning on how to get away. I blinked. Zeke strode down the path towards me with a scowl on his face. Instantly, I could take a full breath. His eyes ran over me. His frown deepened as he moved around the bench to sit near me. Leather and engine grease reached me. I breathed deeply, taking it into my lungs as my heart slowed.
I didn't make it,
he muttered. I let out a long breath as Hades moved to get scratches from Zeke. Me neither. I was starting to have a panic attack, I admitted sheepishly as I held up my phone. I was about to call someone. His eyes ran over me, assessing.
How about now?
Better, I admitted. Whenever one of the guys was around, I was always better, calmer. He looked out on the water.
Well, aren't we a pair?
He grumbled. I huffed. I have trouble leaving the house alone.
And I have to fight tooth and nail to let you,
he admitted quietly. I reached over and took his big calloused hand in mine. His fingers were warm as he gave me a squeeze. My shrink says it's like a muscle, I told him, as his thumb made small circles over my knuckles. The more I do it, the sooner I'll be able to with less trouble.
Sounds like a good doc,
he said. I nodded. We can try again tomorrow, I offered quietly. He took a deep breath and let it out slowly.
Sounds like a plan,
he agreed, still looking out at the water. I gave his hand a shake so he'd look down at me. Those sky blue eyes met mine.
Let's get out of here.
He nodded, let go of my hand, then got to his feet. I had to remind myself that Zeke wasn't into PDA, not to mention he'd been walking on eggshells around me since he found out he couldn't hug me. We had been close. We always seemed to understand each other. But now, things were different.
I didn't like it. We walked back to the cars in silence. When we reached the cars, I let Hades jump inside before turning to Zeke. Maybe we can start with you not following me to Miles's house, I offered. He struggled with the idea for a moment. I just waited patiently.
Text me when you get there,
he asked, his face hard. You got it. I gave him a small smile. He waited until I climbed into the Blazer, closed and locked the door before he headed for his 97 Jeep Cherokee. I missed the old Zeke, the Zeke that wasn't afraid to touch me or even stand near me. Heart aching, I pulled out of my parking spot and headed to Miles's house, as my new routine dictated. My official voice therapy sessions had ended weeks ago. Ethan, on the other hand, had other ideas. I drove through the gate and up the driveway. Ethan thought the more therapy I had, the better the chance of me getting my singing voice back. I had told him what the therapist said, but he didn't care. I pulled up to Miles's house. House was a relative term. It was really a mansion. The gray stone three-story house sat on top of the hill with new ivy trying to climb the walls. The old, dead ivy had been cut away. Huh. He must have had gardeners come out. I parked in the circular gravel driveway and texted Zeke that I made it before I headed in. I didn't bother knocking. I'm here, I shouted, wincing as my voice came out scratchy. Kitchen, Miles called back. I headed through the foyer and down the long hall to the kitchen. Miles was putting away groceries. Grabbing a bag, I started putting away the cans in the pantry. You were busy this morning, I said as I turned around. Miles closed the fridge, then turned to me. I usually go shopping Saturday mornings. His gaze ran over me. How did leaving the house go? I closed the pantry. Zeke and I got a big fat F for today. I was starting to have a panic attack when he showed up. Miles gave me a small understanding smile.
How long were you out alone before you had an issue?
I thought it over. A couple of hours. His smile grew.
That's progress, Lexi. It might not be the big step you wanted, but it's still progress.
I grinned at him. He was right. I might have had a problem, but I still went out alone. Thanks, Miles.
You're welcome, Lexi.
I tossed the grocery bag into the recycling bin, then went to sit down at the counter before I met his gaze again. I need to talk to you. His brow drew down as he moved to stand across the breakfast counter from me.
Sure. What's on your mind?
He asked, his voice that silky, smooth timbre that I loved. I took a deep breath and told him. Sophie wants to cross soon. His face turned somber. He placed his hands on the counter as I continued. And I need to tell the twins so we can find out what pulled her back here. Miles made his thinking face, the one that left a little wrinkle between his eyes.
When does she want to cross?
He asked, his voice quiet. After the cousins leave at the earliest? She said she'd break a guitar when she was ready, I replied. He started tapping out that staccato rhythm on the countertop. I have no idea how to even begin to tell them, I said softly as I rested my arms on the counter. He let out a deep breath.
We,
he said, his eyes meeting mine.
We are going to tell them. We all knew Sophie was in the house, and we decided not to tell them.
I don't want you guys to take the fallout, I admitted. They can blame me. It'll be better.
No,
Miles stated clearly.
We're going to do this as a family, the way we always do things.
I sighed deeply, tension melting from my shoulders. To be honest, I didn't want to have to tell them by myself. How do you think they'll take it, that we didn't tell them?
It's not going to be pleasant,
he admitted, his gaze on the countertop.
Ethan will probably be angry, but Isaac, I don't know what to expect from Isaac.
I cursed. Miles reached out and took my hand. I met his gaze.
But we'll all be there for them, and we'll help them get through it.
I looked down at our hands. I held on tight. wanting to believe it'd be that easy.
Lexi.
I met his eyes again.
It's going to be all right.
I nodded. Miles's thumb ran over the back of my hand.
Now, they leave Monday morning?
I nodded again.
I'll do some research and see if I can get a better idea of how to help them through the initial shock.
Thanks, Miles. I squeezed his hand again. He squeezed back.
Of course.
The front door opened.
I'm here,
Ethan shouted. Kitchen. Miles's hand slipped from mine before he moved to the coffee maker. It wasn't long before Ethan walked in smiling.
Ready for therapy?
He asked. I sighed wearily as I picked up my water bottle. Sure.
Come on, beautiful.
He gave my arm a tug. I got up, a heavy weight settling on my shoulders. I followed Ethan down the long hallway that ran the length of the house and into the music room. The room was beautiful. The walls covered in bookshelves. The only things in the room were a guitar, a cello, and a grand piano. Ethan sat down at the piano and opened the folder he brought. I sat next to him and waited with a heavy heart. Ethan, I tried again to get him to understand.
No, screw what the therapist said,
Ethan stated cheerfully.
We can get your voice back to where it was.
He handed me the sheet music to Green Day's Still Breathing. It didn't require a huge range, but first I needed to do my warm-up exercises. His chocolate eyes were determined when they met mine.
Okay.
I didn't have the heart to tell him it was hopeless. I nodded. Okay. Chapter 3. Saturday afternoon. It was over an hour later, and I was still sitting next to Ethan at the piano. He played the guitar as we sang a duet. I was trying to sing my verse of Seether's Broken. On my second line, my voice cracked. We ignored it. On the fourth line, my voice strained to reach the higher note. It came out scratchy and sounded awful. Enough! I stopped, threw my sheet music, put my elbows on the closed piano, and hid my face in my hands. My chest was tight as tears fell. I sounded horrible. I couldn't hit the notes I used to. My range was small enough that it was laughable. I took a deep breath. My throat burned with the need to scream. It wasn't enough for Clay Orton to take Zeke. No, he had to take this, too. That fucker. I took shaking breaths as tears fell. I didn't even realize how much I loved singing with Ethan until I couldn't anymore. And now? I wished Clay was in front of me so I could stomp his nuts into the ground. Ethan's hand went to my shoulder as I tried to get myself under control. It's not going to happen, I managed, while taking deep breaths.
Lexi.
His voice was smoky and gentle. I dropped my hands and looked at him. When he saw my tears, his face grew pained.
Don't Lexi me,
I croaked. I cursed and took another drink from my water bottle.
My range is gone and it's not coming back.
His eyes softened on mine.
Then we'll pick songs in your range.
There aren't that many.
Then I'll fucking write 'em,
he snapped. He reached out, wiped my cheeks, and held my face in his hands.
Don't give up on me, beautiful.
I took one deep breath, then another. He pulled me against him. I laid my head on his shoulder, his touch starting to calm me down. He rested his cheek against my forehead and held me tight.
You might not sing with the band again, but you'll always be able to sing with me,
he whispered. I nodded and held him tighter. Love you, I whispered.
Love you, too.
He held me until I had stopped crying and could breathe again. When I moved out of his arms, he chuckled. He reached up, using his thumb to wipe under my left eye.
Your makeup is destroyed,
he smiled. I snorted and then wiped my face under my eyes. I'm not surprised, I said, my voice hoarse. I think that's a day.
Yeah, Breaking down into tears usually means the end of my practices,
he offered. I grinned a little. He gave me a small smile as I drank from my water bottle again.
It might take a long time, but we'll keep trying.
I nodded. I'm going to go wash my face. My voice was hoarse as I got up and headed down the hall to the bathroom. When I saw my reflection, I shook my head. My mascara was destroyed. I thought about what Ethan said as I warmed up the water. Did you really think we could get my range back? He kept being so certain. When the water was ready, I washed my face until my makeup was gone. I dried my face and looked in the mirror. My eyes were still red from crying. Oh, well, there was nothing I could do about that. I headed back to the kitchen to get my usual after-voice therapy tea. Miles was there already pouring hot water out of a kettle into a mug. By the time I reached him, he had put in a tea bag and passed it to me. Thanks, Miles, I croaked. He gave me a gentle smile as I sat on the counter next to the stove. I blew on my tea as he leaned against the kitchen side of the breakfast bar. I took a drink, the warmth soothing my throat.
Ethan headed out. He said he'd see you tonight.
Miles's gaze ran over me.
Are you all right?
Just had a breakdown, I admitted, meeting his eyes. My voice hasn't improved in the last month.
If you want to stop these lessons, I'll talk to Ethan about it,
he offered. I shook my head. I think they're more for him than me. I took a sip.
It's possible,
he said quietly.
Are you guys really going out to that old hospital tonight?
Miles grinned. I chuckled. Yeah, it was Isaac's idea. There was an old hospital that closed down in the 40s. It remained empty and was pretty much abandoned at this point. Everyone at school swore it was haunted. Miles narrowed his eyes on me.
Why?
Because of the rumors, I explained. The twins want to see if it's really haunted or if it's just stories. And since I'm the world's best ghost detector... He shook his head.
I'll be here in case you guys get caught and need bail.
Why don't you come with us? I asked. I think Asher and Zeke are going, too.
Walk through a large abandoned building?
He looked out the window over the sink.
I live in one. It's not necessary to go looking for one.
I looked him over. There were shadows under his eyes. Are you having trouble sleeping again? I asked softly. His gaze met mine.
As usual, he admitted. I've tried music. I've tried television. I've even tried melatonin. The only thing that works is working until I'm exhausted.
I hated that Miles couldn't fall asleep normally. He was brilliant, and that was when he was exhausted. I wanted to see what he could do with a full night's sleep. Well, if you're up one night, give me a call, I offered with a grin. I'll probably be awake too. He smiled the smile that made him handsome and wreaked havoc with my heart.
Deal.
Miles waited until I was done with my tea.
If you don't want your dance lesson today, I'll understand,
he offered. I smiled. Nope. He held back a grin.
All right, then let's go.
By the time I finally got the moves Miles was teaching me right, we were both sweaty and breathing hard. When the song ended, Miles lifted me from the dip, then went to turn off the stereo. He looked good when he was sweating. The wave of his hair curled more, making me want to run my fingers through it. I pulled my mind back from where that train of thought was taking me. He shut off the music, then turned back to me.
You're making a lot of progress.
I'm trying to, I admitted, before taking a drink of water. Miles wiped the sweat off his face.
You're a fast learner. By this summer, I'll be able to take you to one of the salsa clubs in Missoula.
My eyebrows went up. We're underage. He finished his drink from his water bottle.
Some of the clubs let in minors.
Did I want to go salsa dancing with Miles this summer? Yeah, I really did.
Sounds good to me, I said, as we started putting the furniture back in place.
Why do you like salsa dancing, anyway? I begin shoving one of the couches back to its spot. Miles was instantly there, practically moving the couch on his own.
It's all about the woman,
he said quietly as he slid the coffee table back into place. How's that? I asked as I started pushing the other couch. Miles went to the other side and helped move it into place.
If you watch the dancing in a salsa club, you'll see it,
he said as he met my eyes.
Salsa dancing isn't really about the men. It's about the women. The man's job is to make her look great, which isn't really difficult.
He turned away from me to the stereo.
Your hair spins around you. Your body moves with the music and you start to glow. You let go.
He reached up and pulled out the CD and put it in its case.
It's my job to make you look even better.
My face warmed. What the hell did you say to that? Well, this woman is going to go take advantage of that bathtub, I announced. I picked up my bag of clothes. Miles's back was still to me. Thanks, Miles. I really enjoy these lessons.
You're welcome,
he said, not bothering to turn around.
I enjoy teaching you.
I walked into the long hallway and headed to my room in the house. It was the classically elegant master bedroom. It had been Miles's mom's, but she decided to bail and not come back. I still wanted to yell at her for it, but I settled for donating all her clothes to charity. Miles thought it had been a great idea. I shut the door behind me and made a beeline for the bathroom. It looked like a spa. Teal walls and white tile, especially with the giant jacuzzi tub. Hello, heaven. As soon as the water was high enough, I dropped a rosemary bath bomb in before I stripped down and climbed in. Oh, God. The water went to my chin. This was bliss. I reached up, grabbed one of the rolled-up towels, and put it behind my head. Then I hit the jets. Jets of water massaged down my back and the bottoms of my feet. I groaned and closed my eyes. Rosemary-scented steam filled the bathroom. I looked up at the row of bath products that had been appearing over the last few months. Brands I didn't even recognize. All of them had either rosemary oil or extract. The shampoo and conditioner were even for curly hair. Not to mention they were hydrating. Exactly the kind I used. Only these were better. Whenever I used the tub here, I left with my curls defined and smooth without any help from me. Miles never said anything. Bath stuff just kept showing up. I smiled to myself and closed my eyes. Some days I wondered if Miles cared about me the way I did about him. Others? I had no clue. I took a deep breath, sank into the heat of the tub, and let the world drift away. Chapter 4. Saturday evening. It was 4 in the afternoon when I trudged up to my room for my nap. At least that was what I called veil work when Tara was around. Hades followed as usual. The dog had been my shadow for months now. I lay down on my bed and groaned when Hades instantly took up more of my bed. I scooted, bitching the whole time. He just lay his head on my pillow and looked adorable. The brat knew how to play me. I closed my eyes, focused, then dropped down to the veil. Over the last few months, bypassing my sinner had become a habit. I dropped to the grass, then straightened. The veil was the same as this morning. Nothing ever changed here unless I brought the dead. I was at the center of the veil, exactly where I needed to be. I sat down in the grass, making sure I didn't crush any flowers, took a deep breath, and brought up a memory of the guys that made me feel safe. It was the night after I came home from the hospital. Hades was with me, hogging the bed. The guys were spread out over my floor. Well, most of them. Zeke had been sleeping sitting up against the wall between the door and the closet. The twins were on the floor beside my bed. Miles was down near the foot, and Asher's long legs were in the hallway. They refused to leave that night, so Rory agreed to let them crash in my room as long as the door was open.
My barriers dropped. The energy of the veil washed through me gently, making my skin tingle. I opened my eyes. My energy was still close around me in a golden dome. That was fine for what I was doing. I closed my eyes and focused on an image of an apple. That hard feeling in my chest grew. My will reached for the energy of the veil. A small weight grew in my right hand. I opened my eyes and smirked. A shiny red apple sat in my hand. It felt solid and real, mostly because it was. Following the book from Serena, I learned how to use the energy in the veil, much like a witch in the real world, only in here. I left my eyes open as I focused on dissipating that energy. I pictured it gone, its energy absorbed back into the veil. The apple burst into gold light. Then there was nothing. Okay, one down, 30 to go, I thought out loud. I ran through the exercises that were in the book twice. I worked on doing it faster and faster. Once I was warmed up, I could create almost anything instantly. I was playing with fire as it ran along my arm when I had an idea. I smirked at the flames as they smothered out. Zahur! I shouted. Over the last few months, Zahur had become more of a teacher than the creepy imposter me. Whatever she was always willing to help if I got stuck on an exercise. It was only a couple minutes wait before she popped into the veil, looking like me again. I instantly dropped water on her, soaking her to the bone. I burst out laughing. She pushed her hair out of her face and glared at me. If you wanted a fight, you just had to ask, she smirked. Oh, shit. A ball of water shot towards my face. I dropped onto my back barely in time for it to pass over me. I somersaulted backwards to my knees and shot Zahur a challenging look. She wasn't wet anymore, but she was smiling. I conjured a ball of fire and threw it at her. She ducked. Her smile grew. Good, she stated in an odd voice. It wasn't mine. It sounded deeper. Now let's see what you have learned. I grinned wickedly. We went at it like that for some time. She scored some hits, which hurt like hell, and I scored a few myself. Eventually, she called it. Good, she said as the shield of energy she created disappeared from around her. But you need to be faster. If the other one comes back, you need to be able to take them down quickly before they can do more damage. She walked towards me. I met her in the middle. When she was close enough, she reached out, her hand glowing with green light. Before I could ask, she ran that hand around me. The spot she hit didn't hurt anymore. What did you do? I asked when I got my breath back. Simple healing. I can only do it here, she said before meeting my eyes. Now, you need to start on making an alarm. Yeah, I'll start tomorrow, I agreed. I needed that alarm soon. If whoever shut off the veil came back, I'd need to know immediately. See that you do, she said a second before she disappeared. I hated that she could do that. I looked at the flowers blooming around the veil. There were even some vines now, climbing over the charcoal stumps of trees. The veil was finally healing, but if it took a hit like before, it might just kill it off for good. Worried, I pulled myself out of the veil and back to reality. I had just pulled on my black hoodie when a car honked outside. I looked through the blinds and spotted Zeke's Jeep. I hurried downstairs, Hades on my heels. I'm heading out with the boys, I told Rory. He eyed what I was wearing. Black jeans, black shirt, black boots and hoodie. What are you guys up to tonight? He asked suspiciously. The twins want to check out the old abandoned hospital to find out if it's really haunted, I admitted. Rory chuckled. Be careful and don't get caught, he told me as he looked to Hades. Hades, want to stay and eat pizza and watch sports? Hades gave a small bark and left my side to join Rory on the couch. I smiled as I opened the door and almost ran into Asher. I wasn't taking that long, I pointed out as I slipped outside and closed the door behind me.
I know, but Zeke was starting to growl.
Asher shrugged. We headed across the lawn toward the running Jeep. Ash, I need to talk to you guys without the twins before Monday, I whispered as we slowly walked out to the car. He nodded.
I'll send a text to Zeke to show up early to brunch tomorrow,
he offered. I gave him a smile. Thanks, I mumbled, before opening the back door and climbing into the middle of the seat next to Isaac. Zeke's car still slightly smelled of smoke, but the interior was brand new and black. Big surprise there. I buckled my seatbelt as Asher climbed in next to me. Isaac shifted and lay his arm along the back of the seat as I was squeezed between the two of them. Zeke pulled onto the road and out of my neighborhood. So, tell me about this place and why everyone thinks it's haunted, I asked the guys.
It was a hospital that closed in the 1940s,
Asher began.
It was the only one around for miles.
Why'd it close? I asked, as Zeke pulled out onto the highway.
That's where the rumors come in,
Isaac explained.
Some rumors say bad treatment of the mental patients, and others say that with the new smaller hospitals in towns, they ran out of funding.
Wait, there was a mental ward? I asked.
A small one.
Ethan pulled out a notebook and turned on a small pin light.
In the east wing.
Is that a map? I asked, incredulous.
Yeah, I sketched it from what I could find online.
Ethan held a copy up to show me.
I figured it'd be easier to get around.
Good idea. So what have people seen that made them think it's haunted? I asked, as I shifted to get more comfortable. Vanilla and limes mixed in the space of the back seat. It wasn't unpleasant, but it was distracting.
Loud noises, doors slamming, cold spots, weird shadows,
Isaac began.
There's a couple of sightings of a woman in a white hospital gown.
You guys really did your homework, I said, impressed.
Me and my brother have been wanting to do this since we found out you could see the dead,
Ethan admitted. I shook my head at that. Did everyone bring their charms? I asked. Everyone but Zeke held up their charms against the dead for me to see. Zeke?
Hmm?
Zeke seemed to have not been listening. Did you bring your charms? I asked. Zeke nodded. Why was he so quiet? Maybe I'll get him alone later and ask. The rest of the drive, the guys continued to fill me in on the information they found on the hospital. It wasn't very exciting, which I was fine with. That meant there probably weren't any ghosts there. We could just look around and leave. Half an hour later, Zeke pulled off the highway onto an overgrown gravel road. Isaac started bouncing in his seat. I put my hand on his leg to try to get him to calm down. It didn't work. It wasn't long until we pulled in front of a large, desolate building. Zeke parked the car.
Everyone grab a flashlight out of the back and a copy of the layout,
Zeke ordered. Isaac and I jumped out of the Jeep and looked up at the building. 3 stories of brick, set in a U. The building was enormous. Ivy was crawling up the walls and over the roof. Chimneys were crumbling. Some of the large windows were busted out, letting the ivy inside. It was awesome. I was suddenly just as excited as Isaac. I walked to the back of the Jeep and took a heavy mag light from the pile and a map from Ethan.
Looks like a couple found the place, too,
Asher announced. I turned to where he was looking. There was a gray sedan parked closer to the building. We could scare the hell out of them, I suggested wickedly. Isaac started nodding. Zeke looked down at me with that glare.
No,
he said in his don't even think about it voice. It was just a suggestion, I said innocently. The others chuckled. Once everyone had what they needed, I peeked up at Isaac. His gaze met mine. His mischievous grin appeared. We were both thinking the same thing. I turned back to the guys and tried to hide my excitement. So, why don't we split up? I suggested. We can cover more ground. The others looked at me with confusion.
You're the only one who can see the dead,
Asher reminded me. Yeah, but there are other signs you look for. You know, weird noises, those doors slamming, all that stuff.
I inched my way toward the building with Isaac just a step behind me. Asher was eyeing me. He knew I was up to something. When our backs were to the building entrance, I added, "So let's split into teams. I'm with Isaac." Before they could say a word, we both turned and bolted for the entrance.
"Lexi!"
Zeke bellowed. I giggled as we climbed the crumbling front steps and carefully slipped through the sideways door. We were both laughing as we turned on our lights and kept going. The foyer was decaying. The plaster on the walls gone in most places. The floor littered with dust and debris. There was a dusty, dank, stale smell to the air. But I didn't care. I knew Zeke. He'd try to find us as fast as possible. I grabbed Isaac's hand. "Quick! Second floor!" I hissed. We could barely stop snickering as we raced up the stairs and down the left hall. We slowed down. The walls here were covered in peeling paint, making them look cracked. We walked down the long corridor. Doors ran down each side of the wide hallway. It looked straight out of a horror movie. Isaac's light shined on a doorway whose door was on the floor.
"Hey, Red, let's check this out,"
he whispered. I went with him and shined my light inside. It was a small room. The green paint cracked and peeling off the walls, the floor covered in dirt and grime. It was empty. "Just a hospital room," I thought out loud. I let go of Isaac's hand and moved further down the corridor and around the corner, Isaac with me every step of the way.
"This is one of the reasons I love you, Red,"
Isaac said as we kept moving.
"You're willing to do the same crazy stuff I want to do."
"Like driving Zeke nuts?" I offered, smiling. He nodded.
"That is high on the list,"
he admitted. He was quiet for a bit.
"This shit doesn't bother you?"
he asked, as we reached large double doors on one side of the hall. "Not really." I pushed one of the doors open and stepped inside. Isaac followed. "Does it spook you out?" The light from our flashlights bounced off the green tile. There were bathtubs lined up against the wall across from us.
"Not really,"
he said, as he went to one of the tubs and looked in.
"Too many video games, maybe."
We went back into the hallway and started walking. "Maybe," I shrugged. As we looked around, I thought back to what he had said. "I don't like all the stunts you do. The really crazy ones actually scare me," I told him. His gaze ran over me, then met mine.
"My stunts scare you?"
he repeated, sounding doubtful.
"The woman who sees the dead all the time? The girl who laughs at horror movies?"
"Yeah, they scare me," I said simply. "Like that surf tubing in January, that scared the hell out of me." I turned my flashlight to the walls and kept walking. "Climbing without gear in October?" I reminded him.
"That's just fun,"
he explained. I turned back to him. "When you do that shit, it scares the hell out of me," I said sincerely. He couldn't meet my gaze. I stepped up, grabbed his chin, and made him look at me. "I care about you. Hell, I love you, Cookie Monster." His jaw clenched as I continued. "I just don't want to see you get hurt." He sighed deeply. Shadows filled his eyes.
"So you, what, want me to stop being me?"
I shook my head. "I just don't want you to take stupid risks anymore." His fingers brushed along my jaw. He leaned down and kissed the corner of my lips. My heart gave a hard throb. Whoa, where did that come from? I'd never felt that before, not from Isaac. Hell, not from anyone lately. He pulled back and gave me a small, sad grin.
"All right, Red,"
he said softly.
"For you, I'll try to pull back on the stunts."
I gave him a big smile and practically tackled him as I hugged him tight. "Thank you, Isaac," I whispered. He squeezed me back.
"Only for you, Lexi,"
he said softly. Cursing came from down the hall. We went still. The voice was gravelly and deep. We let go of each other. While talking, we forgot what we were doing. Zeke must have finished searching the first floor. Smiling, I hurried to the nearest door. It was a closet.
I gestured to Isaac. We squeezed in and shut the door behind us. I shut off my light, and he covered his with his shirt so it wasn't completely dark. The closet was musty and small, forcing us to be pressed against each other. Zeke's heavy footsteps came closer. He was mumbling about how he was going to kill us both. Isaac snorted. I looked up. He was trying to stop himself from laughing. His face was red from it. I couldn't stop smiling as I put a finger to my lips to remind him. His shoulders started shaking. I felt my own control slipping. I let out a giggle. I covered my mouth with my hand as the footsteps came closer. The door jerked open, light blinding me. I couldn't help it. I started giggling.
Not funny,
Zeke growled as he lowered his flashlight. We broke out laughing. He reached in, grabbed my arm, and pulled me out of the closet to his side. Isaac and I kept laughing as Zeke marched us back downstairs to where the others were waiting. By the time we reached them, I had my breath back. How'd you find us? I asked, wiping a tear from my eye.
Your footprints in the dirt,
Zeke bit out. Oh, clever. I smiled up at him. He glowered down at me, which set me off on another round of giggles. Asher shined his light at the ceiling so we could see everyone.
Are you two finished running off on your own?
Asher asked in a very Miles-like tone. I tried not to smile too much as I said, yes. Asher shook his head.
Back to what we came here for,
Zeke growled.
If you two are done, let's get to it.
I peeked up at him. Was the hospital getting to him? Maybe. Fine, I agreed. Where were the most sightings of the woman?
Third floor common room,
Ethan announced.
In the east wing.
Great. The mental ward wing. Third floor it is, I declared, and turned toward the stairs. Zeke stepped in front of everyone as Asher stepped up next to me.
What did you think you were doing?
Ethan hissed at Isaac behind us.
Exploring,
Isaac countered.
The group sticks together. That was the deal.
Ethan snapped.
Fine. God, relax, will you?
Isaac grumbled.
It was just a joke.
As we reached the second story landing, something moved. I only spotted it out of the corner of my eye. I looked to the left and shined my light. There was nothing there to move. Huh. Must have been a bug or something. We turned and headed up the staircase to the third story. Are you guys sure you don't want to look around some more? I asked, almost begging.
Maybe, if you don't run off again.
Zeke called over his shoulder. I rolled my eyes. Zeke tested each step before he led us on the staircase. After all, if it could hold him, it'd hold all of us. It took a while to reach the third floor. The air was colder up here. Every window was broken, letting the spring wind in.
Which way to the common room?
Zeke asked. I pulled out my map and looked at it. To the left, I think. We started walking down another wide corridor that was exactly the same as the second floor. Everything was normal until I noticed I could see my breath. Guys? I think there's a soul somewhere. And a pissed-off one at that, I announced. The guys started looking up and down the corridors. I saw nothing. The chill ran down my neck, only it felt like a punch. I grunted and closed my eyes with the pain. It was only a few seconds, but when I opened them, I was surrounded by the guys.
Allie?
Asher asked. There's a soul, all right, and close. My voice turned raspy. I reached for my water bottle and realized I had left it in the Jeep. Shit. I was looking down the hall at a pair of double doors when the soul walked right through it. She was in a hospital gown and muttering under her breath. Her stride was long as she cursed stupid teenagers. She looked up and stopped. Her brown hair was wild, her eyes furious. Great. More stupid teenagers looking for ghosts, she groaned. I don't want you here.
Stop bothering me. I bit back a smirk as I stepped out from behind Zeke. I see you. She froze, then frowned at me. You can see me?